Well, I hope you after hours traders stretched your legs and your back to try and get under the low bar, which some people did. And even if you don't have fundamental information to clear that low bar, walk the walk and talk the talk, and your stock is 12% higher. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got some earnings to cover on this hump day. We're going to talk to Ivan Feinseth about what he's looking from tech stocks and earnings coming up. We're fired up, folks. It's a day before the NFL draft. Have you submitted the team that you want to cover? Let's get it going, AB. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right. Good morning, traders and investors. We touched unchanged in the overnight session, but we're up 12 points at 51.18 even. All right. That's good news here. Trying to clear our 5 and 6 day highs for good. The buck is up 21 cents at 105.71. TLT under 89, down 19 cents at 88.84. Crude down 31 cents at 83.02. Gold trying to break a losing streak, but not really doing it. Down 13 bucks at 23.29. Silver clinging to the 27 handle, down 21 cents at 27.15. And Bitcoin, let's just call that flat. It's 66,500 on the futures. Let's bring in Triple D here. Triple D, I mean, high bar, low bar day, and you called it limbo. And man, must magic is what I wanted to call the show, but high bar, low bar. This is
the limbo trade here this morning with Tesla. Bar was so low, they couldn't get under it. They were trying, but they failed. Boeing, bar so low, they can't get under it. We talked about it yesterday that, you know, it's just so oversold, Tesla. So massively, massively, massively oversold that, you know, we challenged whether they could say anything to drive the stock lower, and they couldn't. And Musk came on that conference call with the intentions of propping up his stock price. You know, he's pumps his price. We know that. Pumps the tires, pumps it up. He came on that call with the intention of getting the stock price higher, and he absolutely succeeded. He said everything the market wanted to hear. The numbers were terrible. Give us a number. Bring AB in here. Bring
AB in here. AB, come on.
We need his commentary here as well. He's high.
How are we doing, y'all?
I like this setup. I like this look. This is a good look for you. This whole thing.
Yeah,
you
know,
background.
I know. I
think he always looks good. This guy's a sharp-dressed man, you know?
He's young. It's easier to look good when you're young.
Yeah, I know. He does. It's the young blood. But give us those numbers for Tesla so we can trash. So, you know, we can at least trash the numbers. We're not going to trash the stock performance.
All right, let's go ahead and pull up those numbers for Tesla. Tesla reported last night, lots of headlines on it this morning. I got to scroll down a lot in our Benzinga Pro. EPS came in at 45 cents, missed by 5 cents, so the street was looking for 50 cents. Revenue came in at $21.31 billion, missed by $950 million. So almost missed revenue by a billion, missed EPS by 5 cents. Or 6 cents, I'm seeing now a couple different numbers here. Either way, the double miss, but like you guys said, the bar was just set so low. Into this report. I'm not surprised to see it trading up on this report. I'm a little bit surprised to see it up, you know, 12.5%, 13%. At one point, I think right after the numbers came out, it traded up around 7%. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then I checked it later last night and I saw it up like over 10%. And I was like, okay, now we're getting a little carried away. But either way, I'm sure you have lots of shorts coming in to cover their positions this morning. Yes. Tesla stock. I mean, when was the last time we were even at these levels of 163? Looks like you had to go back to April 15th, tax day. So you had this big sell-off going into the report, and then now you're basically round trip back to where we were about 2 weeks ago.
So down year-over-year deliveries, 386,000, down 9% year over year. Total production, 433,000. That was down 2% year over year. The miss. Deliveries, we knew the numbers were going to be bad. Everyone and their grandma knew the numbers were going to be bad. The trade was crowded to the short side here. It had just been beaten up simply too much. And Musk knew the numbers were bad. He obviously knows the numbers. And he came on that conference call and he was like going to say everything in his power to let them forget about the numbers. And he absolutely did that. He talked robo-taxis. He talked full self-drive by the end of the year. Good luck.
I'm not doing that.
Full self-drive by the end of the year or at early 2025. Good luck with that. There's, you know, no way he's full self-drive by the end of the year. But we know he likes to set huge, lofty expectations, and he often doesn't meet them. Eventually, he does, though. Like, I mean, the innovations that guys had is incredible. So I think he'll get there. It's just he never hits those targets, it seems like, when he says he's going to hit this target. And then he went into the humanoid talk. And, you know, we talked about this story too. You know, I've talked about this is going to be the driver for Tesla years from now. Well, he talked about humanoids being for sale in 2025. He talked about it next year. We were projecting out, Chris Camilo over at Dumb Money projecting out 2027. So if he hits 2025 on humanoids, it's a game changer for it. Again, I do not think they're going to hit those targets. I don't think we're going to see humanoids being sold for a long time here. You know, he was saying very simplistic tasks maybe to in 2025 if he's selling any of them there. But everything the market wanted to hear, to forget about the fact that the cars aren't selling. So core business is car company, cars aren't selling. But when you talk about all this other stuff, you know, it gets everybody excited. You know, the robo-taxi talk has Uber and Lyft trading down here in the pre-market.
Good call.
Back. So, I mean, the stock was going to wanted to trade higher regardless just because it was so beat up and it was crowded to the short side and everyone hated it. Now everyone loves it. Everyone's coming in. Oh, yeah, Musk turnaround story here. Oh, yeah, I bought the bottom yesterday. That's what they're all saying on Twitter. Everybody on Twitter bought Tesla ahead of this report. Congratulations, everybody on Twitter. I guess Twitter is the most smartest traders and the richest traders out there. So congratulations, everybody on Twitter. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe half the people that say they bought it yesterday. I think they probably bought it when I bought it, a 180, and they're sitting down here down. I'm a Tesla bag holder. It's come back. I just got half my losses back, but at least I'm not sitting here bragging, you know, oh, yeah, I own the stock. That's what they'll say. I own the stock. I'm smart. I own the stock. Yeah, where do you own it from? I own it from 180. It's not that smart. Dumb Denny. But, you know, I wouldn't say, if you say that on Twitter, then, you know, like, then nobody's going to, no, there's no losing traders on Twitter. AB, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, you know, I think with Elon Musk's history of, you know, making these promises and timelines and not living up to them, I think it's almost like, you know, the market doesn't care about it anymore because that's the expectation is you're going to have Musk say these things. I mean, I have a whole list here on this article that someone compiled of these different things. Elon Musk promised full self-driving next year. Three different years from 2018, 2019 to 2020. I mean, I think, and honestly, I will say, like, from the videos I've seen on Twitter recently, it seems like they're pretty close, like now more than ever. But we've been hearing that from Elon Musk for a while. Let's see. He said humans on Mars by the end of 2024. So we still got about 6 months on that.
He's even talking about humans.
We still got about 6 months on that. So I'm not ready to call that one a failed promise yet. But he's got to get moving on that one because I don't think.
His original target, 2024 humans on Mars?
Yeah. But that's going all the way back to, like, I think he said that in 2015.
You're telling me is he has a history of not hitting his price targets.
His timeline.
His timelines.
Yeah.
Timelines.
He said that Teslas would have a 620-mile, 1,000-kilometer range back in 2017. They still haven't hit that target. So that's been about 7 years since that one. They're still going for that one. Of course, the $25,000 car, he's been calling for that one for a while, hasn't hit that. But again, I think now that you have all that out there, the market doesn't care as much about it. If you had Ford's GM come out and say, oh, we're going to put this car out by the year end of the year, and they didn't, it'd be a bigger deal than Musk saying it because he's already got this track record. And I think the market has just stopped to really care about them missing the specific timelines and targets. Yeah.
Because he misses them all. But anyways, I do think, and I've said this before, that at a certain point in time, when they start catching on to the robo-taxis and the full self-drive and the humanoids, that Tesla is a technology company, and there's going to be a lot of revenue being driven from that, driven kind of pun intended. I do own that little piece. I will eventually rebuy more Tesla. I just am so scared. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time right now. Like, I thought maybe we could go lower here eventually because the cars just aren't selling. And I don't think they're going to start selling, you know, like hotcakes anytime soon. But if he starts the market thinking about the robo-taxis and thinking about full self-drive, you know, and if he can hit full self-drive by the end of the year, that's incredible. You know, and that is the start of it all. And then the humanoids is just, you know, cherry on top. I mean, full self-drive could be enough to drive this thing back up. So there's all those considerations. But to your point, AB, he's had a rough time hitting his timelines before, and I don't think he hits them here again. Now, am I selling Tesla in this bounce? No, it's in a long-term portfolio. I think Tesla's a $300 or $400 stock 5 or 10 years from now, 5 years from now, maybe even more. Like, it might be a $500, $600 stock 5 years from now. But okay, today, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is the full turnaround.
Down to Kathy Wood, you know, rah-rah here. I'm just going to do the quick technicals on this.
Her target, Joel, is 2,000.
Okay.
So I'd be a conservative at 500.
About this one on the closing print with Christian Fromhertz, and I was just my contrarian ways. I was just like, how could you be short going into this report? I said, Musk has been quiet, eerily quiet. AB, I want you to do a sophisticated analysis of when he's come out with these pumps. What about the May pump on CNBC? What was he on CNBC talking? All that stuff. That was a couple months ago. The stock's probably cut in half since then. But anyways, with all that being said, I put question marks up there because that's where we're trading. So I'll give you two levels. Pre-market high, you got to get the pre-market high or else people are going to come in and take profits. The next daily high, this is the very important bar. And this was a bar when it tanked and never came back. It closed at 161.48 that day, and it had a 170.69 high. So that's your levels. I'm not buying it. I'm not touching it. If I would have been long in it, I would have been long gone at like 150 or 151. So it's a tough call here. But if you got those options, those weekly options, and they're juice, man, they're going to have a lot of juice on the open. So the stock can even move up from the open, but you might lose premium just because of all that delta or whatever they call it built into it. But, you know, there it is. Up, you know, nearly $17 back in the 160 handle. So be careful. Also another trade, a fade trade. If you get that open, you know, and it runs 162, 163, 164, and then it reverses and comes back down through that open, that will be the warning shot for Tesla.
We did say this is the limbo trade market here. So, AB, I want to go to Boeing here next because just
you
like Tesla,
mind,
Boeing has been an epic disaster as well. We're talking about a stock that not a multi-year lows because we got down to $100 back in 2020, but you're significantly off the all-time high of $435 back in 2019. Still have all kinds of problems here. The stock was down at one point, I believe this year, 11 days in a row. And then it's consolidated here. And obviously, the bar was very, very, very low for this one here, too. So, did they do?
We're talking about a low bar when it comes to earnings, and I'll give you those numbers. But with Boeing right now, I think as a company, the bar is pretty low as well, where now when I get on a Boeing, I just hope we land. I don't care what's rattling. I don't care what flies off the plane. As long as we land, that's the bar that I'm going with. So Boeing reported EPS of negative $1.13, missed by 30 cents. Revenue came in at $16.6 billion, missed by $620 million. So again, the street was looking for a loss of $1.76 per share. They came in at $1.13. The sales came in at $16.6 billion. Well, I'm seeing now on the second line that it beat the $16.2 billion estimate. Either way, these numbers aren't great. You're talking about losing more than a dollar per share, but the street was expecting them to lose even more per share. Deliveries down 36% year over year. Commercial airplane revenues and deliveries halved quarter over quarter and down a third year over year in Q1. So either way, I mean, the report, not what you want to see, but like we're talking about, the bar had just been set too low going into the report. Boeing now trading up $5.50 this morning, about 3%. So whether you're getting on the plane, whether you're buying the stock, expectations have been low. And look, I'm probably about to be getting on a Boeing here pretty soon because I've got two flights coming up, two separate trips. So chances are at least one of them is going to be a Boeing.
I don't look. I know Joel looks and he wants to fly Airbus. I don't ever look if it's a Boeing. You don't hear a lot of these planes like, sure, the door comes off. Sure, you know, like engine the wing or whatever. Maybe the wheels don't come out just right, but they don't crash. They haven't crashed yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's not very often. That's what I'm saying.
You got a good chance of survival on those Boeing planes. I like the odds. I'm short the survival puts. So like, you know, or the death puts, you know, on Boeing here. I'd be short those puts.
They had the one.
I don't think anybody's dying on these planes. Well, they might. One day they're gonna maybe, and that's gonna be awful. But I hope it's not on your flight.
They already did, Dennis.
Yeah, that was back in like 2019. But they had that one flight that went into a complete nosedive for a few minutes. But guess what happened?
I forgot about that.
They pulled it out. Let's look it up. It was
in North America?
Yeah, I think it was a Latin American flight. Boeing nosedive. Let's see.
No, I think it was in Canada.
No!
I'm just joking. All right, while you guys are looking that up information, I'll just give you the pre-market high here. That pre-market high comes in at 176.35. So you got $2 of climbing to do to get through that pre-market high. But the more important thing that I want to point out to especially our new traders out there and even your veterans that forget about it, you know, we talk about highs and we talk about lows and double tops and double bottoms and multiple closes in the same area. But what about consolidation station? And that's what you had here. Look at this. You had basically three highs at the 172 area and about five lows at the 168 area. That's just people squaring off ahead of earnings. Hey, I'm short. I better bring it in. Hey, I'm long. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm selling at 172. So above 172, you had no business being, you know, being short that stock. If I wanted to be long this stock, I would be patient and wait for a gap fill here at the 171.18 area, 172. On the upside, if you could somehow get to that pre-market high, which Boeing, once it turns, it's turned. And you see that how it turned at the end of the year. I don't know if this is a major turn yet. If it holds the gains today, that will be a step in the right direction. They're still losing money. I don't know how much money they just keep losing money. I've never seen a stock with so much bad news and not go to zero. So let's see what happens with Boeing today. Right now, trade it up.
Headlines matter. But again, this earnings season is all about the bar. And we just gave you two stocks, Boeing and Tesla, that had very, very low bars, and they were not able to get under those bars, meaning they simply just walked over the bars. There is going to be a couple reports, to Spinner's point, that have higher bars here. Probably Meta coming up, and I just want to preview this just because we're doing the low bar, high bar, and then we'll come back to some of these other earnings. But Meta here has a very high bar, different. Now, again, we saw Meta with a high bar back in February, and it blew it away and went higher anyways. So these stocks can sometimes just leapfrog. You know, if they're doing pole vaulting, maybe they get the pole out there and they pole vault over that high bar. But the Meta bar is very high. They can't just beat. They can't just, you know, beat and raise. They need to beat and significantly raise here because this bar is very high. Stocks near all-time highs.
Yeah, and Meta, was it Meta's last report that sent the stock up like, you know, 25%?
Right, yeah. It did.
Yep,
and we said on that report that the bar was high, and they managed to get over that. So don't just necessarily assume the stock has to go down when they give the high bar. Sometimes they get over it. And sometimes, you know, this is a tech-driven market here right now. They're hungry for tech stocks. Meta's best of breed right now, really, in a lot of people's minds, you know, and just looking at the performance of the stock over the course of the last 2 years. So, you know, there is the possibility the stock could actually really blow it away and continue to go higher. So it's not a slam dunk short. But it's just saying that the market, the stock absolutely needs to beat and raise to go higher.
Big level, 512 area, pre-market high. That comes in at 511.93. You have a daily high, one spike daily high at 512.21. So if you're looking to wiggle out, you know, ahead of the report, take some off ahead of the all-time high, I'd be looking at that 512 area. up 13 bucks. I don't know where to buy this thing if I was to short it. Top of yesterday's range, way down under 500 at 498.76.
Well, Meta has been talking about, and Zuck's been talking about their new AI, Llama 3 or whatever, which, all right, I don't know what's going on with these names for the AI products, like Llama, Grok, Gork, or whatever
reads that kid's book. What was it? Llama, Red Pajama, or something like that?
I'm just saying you would think that you'd be able to ask whatever AI you're making to come up with some better names.
Better names.
Yeah. Maybe that should be the test of how the AI is doing, is saying, hey, come up with some better names for yourself, because I don't think Llama's great. But either way, you did have some headlines this morning that British regulators are looking into Amazon and Microsoft's AI partnerships, just saying like, hey, does Microsoft partnering with OpenAI, you know, is there any antitrust stuff there? Is it stamping out competition, all this stuff? So that could be interesting in the long run if the EU, because we've seen the EU be pretty, hawkish when it comes to regulation in the big tech, at least more so than here in the US. But I don't think anything in the immediate thing you have to worry about with Meta here on that. But speaking of AI, Dennis, we had another stock report earnings, VRT, Vertiv Holdings, which runs like data centers and stuff like that. Kind of more of a pick and shovel play for the AI, but trading up 17% this morning after the company reported revenue, a double beat here. We had guidance come in above estimates. EPS 43 cents against 36 cent estimate. Sales came in at 1.64 billion against the 1.62 billion. Again, in that guidance, they raised that, crushing the street's expectations. They announced a buyback. I mean, everything you want to see in a report, Vertiv delivered on. And again, the stock trading higher 17% this morning after closing higher 4% yesterday. So looks like people were taking bullish positions on this into earnings. There was a high bar, and they cleared that high bar, pole vaulted, as you
I'm not even said. Yeah, they did, but it's not even that high of a bar, because it got actually hit 2 days ago. It got hit really hard on when they were selling NVIDIA. $88 went all the way down to 72 bucks. So, you know, 2 days ago, this thing sold off 20% from the highs. So the bar actually came down for this. It would have been at a high bar with the hit. And then, you know, people are like hot for the AI trade here again, you know, just suddenly. You know, and NVIDIA and them all turned around, and here's one of those plays. We've talked about VRT on this show. Christian Fromhertz brought it to us.
He did.
You know, a while back there. I played it a couple of times, and I had some good trades on this. I think I picked up 8 or 10 points on it. And I think I bought it a couple of times. I had some really good trades on this. I did not have it through the report here, though, which, you know, obviously wish I would, hindsight capital 2020. But I don't even think the report, it was really good. But
it's faded now. It's
a little
faded
bit. It was a really good report. They're just hungry for the AI. The AI, this is AI day to day, man. Like NVIDIA's moving here. Tesla's reignited. It started yesterday. AMD's flying. It's tech AI versus everything else today. Maybe it's the must talk with Full Self-Drive and obviously kickstarting it. You know, we didn't say how much he mentioned NVIDIA, you know, like Tesla, you know, obviously, you know, Musk talking on the call, but also even, you know, even in the press releases here, you know, talking about NVIDIA, you know, and just going back down to the Tesla, I'll read you those. But, you know, NVIDIA getting a lot of love from Tesla. It's like NVIDIA is so involved with every single company. It's why I still want that core position. And you know what? On pullbacks, you probably got to buy more here. I do think NVIDIA is going to be at all-time highs. I think it's going to be at all-time highs sooner than later, but not like the next week. But
yeah, it's like that tweet. That tweet I pulled up on Monday from that guy that used to work at NVIDIA, basically saying no one's catching up with them while NVIDIA had been trading down. It was like, all right, maybe now's the time to come in and buy this because it's being grouped in with all these other, you know, semis that are getting crushed. And I think that's, you know, I used to look at Apple as just, okay, anytime there's any big dip on Apple, all it is a buying opportunity. I've now shifted that mindset toward NVIDIA. I'm not saying there won't be a point where NVIDIA draws down 10, you know, maybe even 20%. Okay. But I'd be comfortable buying it at essentially any dip again for the long run. Like I'm not talking about for a swing trade or for a day trade, anything like that. I'm talking about to own.
Do you guys remember the original stock we were talking about? Because you guys just mentioned like four or five stocks.
Vertiv, ticker VRT.
Okay. Let's focus.
The reason, Joel, and I'm going to interrupt you on this again because I'm not done talking about it. But the reason we're going on the run-on sentence is Vertiv's performance is all because of NVIDIA. So you have to take it back to why is Vertiv up $12, $13? It's not because of Vertiv. It's because of NVIDIA. Again, another stock because of NVIDIA. Tesla on the call last night. Just reading it from the pro here. Tesla says it expects, Tesla says it will have 85,000 NVIDIA H100 GPUs training AI by the end of the year. How much is one of those H100 GPUs? Does chat know? I don't have no idea. But it ain't $10. You know, I'll tell you that much. H100. What are they worth?
I got the H200. I like the H200 personally. That's what I use. But
$40,000. One of those is worth, they said, and this is just from Google, $40,000. Tesla's buying 85,000 of them. I mean, the demand for NVIDIA products is absolutely unbelievable. I firmly believe, and I've said this before on the show, but I'm going to say it again. I think NVIDIA is going to be the most valuable company in the world. I believe in AI. And I think NVIDIA is one day going to be the most valuable company in the world. It's number three right now. Is it number three behind Microsoft, Apple, or did it fall off when it had to sell?
Would you consider the double Goog?
No, Googs. Yeah, you got to add them up. It's not fair. Okay. So Google's ahead of it again?
It's
four.
Yeah.
I believe that NVIDIA is going to be the most valuable company in the world. I believe it's going to be a $3 trillion company. I believe that you should be buying pullbacks on NVIDIA. I don't like catching the falling knife, but now the knife has fallen. It's come on the ground. Now you can back and fill. The buy would have actually been when it did make the new low of the second day. But just the talk here. I'm not saying come and chase NVIDIA here today, but if you have a long-term time horizon like AB is saying, buying NVIDIA on dips is probably a prudent investment strategy. Listening to all the people who say, oh, it's trading, 16 times sales. Its EPS is 100 times earnings. That's long gone. They're looking at old numbers, folks. They're looking at trailing numbers. You got to look at
projections. They're just mad they're not in it.
They're so mad. They're all mad. They hate the stock. They want that. Dan Nathan wants the stock to go down, needs the stock to go down to feel vindicated about how wrong he's been all the way up. So again, I sold some stock. I probably should buy it back. I probably obviously should have been buying, obviously the last couple of days when I had the 100-point dip. But it's just like everywhere you see, all these stocks' successful performance is based off of NVIDIA. So why not just own NVIDIA? Like Cramer has been spot on lately. Spot on. We always picked on Cramer, and we're switching who we pick on every once in a while. Kathy's eternally picked on because she's a terrible investor. But Cramer, has been doing really well lately, and he was saying the same thing. He's just like, own NVIDIA, just own it. I think he's right. I think the stock goes higher. I think the stock's eventually $1,000 stock. I think the stock is eventually the most valuable company in the world. Buy dips.
Okay, two things here before we move on. VRT, it was our original stock. I mean, this had to be the tangent of tangents off one stock. Pre-market
it's
high,
not,
95.
It's NVIDIA. You've got to talk to me. I don't want bad tangents. This wasn't a bad tangent.
It was long.
It was too long.
I was going to go get a cup of coffee. It wasn't a breakfast tangent. It was a cup of coffee tangent. Put it in 30 seconds in the microwave and then come back. But it's good. No, people like your tangents. I just want to bring things in here. Pre-market high is 95.95. That's an all-time high by over $10. So you might have some heavy lifting to do to get back up there, but that will be a target on the upside. If you want to take the Kenny Glick theory, this is going to $100 and just buy it and set it and forget it. Also, before we move on, I just want to give a big shout out to the 1,400 people that are listening to us on Twitter right now, Dennis. 1,400 people on Twitter. I want you guys to come
time
with
ago.
Yeah.
On Twitter a long time. We just started adding the show to Twitter.
Joel, you're misreading that. It's 1,400 people on YouTube.
You don't have to correct
Twitter.
Me.
How many on Twitter? 600?
Oh, that's right. Only 700 on Twitter. They must be sleeping in.
There's still a lot of people on Twitter. Shout out to the people on
Shout out to the people on YouTube, too.
X. Called X. They're yelling at us. Called X.
Excuse me, X or whatever it is. But anyways, if you got any questions on there, you know, you tweet at us, tweet at the show. We'll do that. You know, we will try and answer your questions real quick. Market wise, we probably skipped over an 830 number. March durable goods. I don't know what they are, but we're up back near the highs of the session. 51.22.75, 51.23. So right back at that pre-market high. Another thing I just wanted to mention technically, we're almost back at half of the break, Dennis. Almost back at the break in the S&Ps. I don't know where it came into Spider and SPY, because the true low of the move was made overnight when I was gone Thursday night with the Israel-Iran thing. So I'm basing it now. Your SPY is going to be a little bit different just based on the fact that we made a higher intraday low that day. So 42 and a quarter, that's a big number here for me. Basis the June S&P 500 index futures.
Just want to just go back to the NVIDIA Tesla. So 85,000.
Someone said it was 20K, Dennis. Someone
okay, let's give it 20K. I've got 40. When I Google it, it says 40,000. But let's just say it was 20,000. If it's only 20,000 bucks a piece, let's say Musk gets a discount for buying in bulk. Sure, believable. You know how much revenue that is? Just from Tesla. Take a guess. 20,000 times 85,000.
$5 billion.
$1.7 billion just from Tesla. Okay. From one company. They're getting $1.7 billion worth of revenue from one company. Every company's got to buy these things. Holy macro, man. The numbers are too low for NVIDIA.
Your point, Dennis, there's this on our on Benzinga's homepage right now, this headline that's Meta's massive $1 billion bet on NVIDIA. Meta's gearing up to buy 350,000 H100 GPUs.
All right, so maybe there's a huge bulk discount when you're buying that many, but yeah, $1 billion. $1 billion from Meta, $1 billion from Tesla, $1 billion.
The question is Tesla really going to buy 85,000 or 8,500?
True. Or it could be like when Musk said he was buying the ventilators and they ended
up. I believe the Zuckerberg numbers. The bottom line is the demand for the NVIDIA chips is something that maybe we're never gonna see. Like, this is one of the biggest, you know, things we're gonna see. That's where I'm at here. You guys know where I'm at.
Good
on
point.
This.
Point well taken, Dennis. And you've been spot on this thing. I give you credit on that.
I am pissed off at myself that I sold any and I didn't buy that dip. You know, like, obviously, you know, it's scary to catch the falling knife, but maybe, you know, to T3 guess on Tuesday, you know, it's talking about the dip, bought it perfectly.
But
so,
he's out. He's long gone. He's long gone.
No, he's in and out. He's probably still in some. He's probably still in some too. He's buys and sells. But anyway.
Speaking of companies that have had low bars, I don't know if there's another company with a lower bar than this. Not an earnings report, but this might be, you know, Dennis and I might be the only people long this stock. I'm talking Alibaba, ticker BABA.
Oh, we haven't looked at the Bobster.
I'm not long it. I've kind of wanted to be
We're
for a while.
We're long in theory, Dennis, not money. We're long in theory.
I got a theory loss going
theoretical
on.
Theoretical
paper loss.
Get on Twitter, AB.
Paper loss here for me on Alibaba.
But Baba was trading higher yesterday after UBS upgrades China stocks amid a valuation collapse, which I don't know. I mean, you know, if you've been investing in these stocks, it's like, yeah, you know, thanks, Sherlock, a valuation collapse. I've seen my portfolio go down, you know, 30% with these names. But Baba now Garrett now trading a little bit higher this morning as well, up about 2%, close 2.5% yesterday. I mean, how many days in a row, you guys are the technical guys, how many days in a row do we need to close green before this starts establishing a new trend? Because, again, I don't think there's another stock out there that needs somewhat of a rally and a bullish trend established more than Baba, which has just been getting crushed for, you know, what, 3 years now?
I've been trying to get bullish China here for a while, and I have some Baidu. It's the only one that I've got. I got a half-size position in it. I'm down in it. I bought at 105. It went to 1413. I was like, I got the bottom. No, I didn't. Back to 98. So hard to make money on stocks that are just in perennial downtrends here, and that's what these China stocks have been. I do think there's a turnaround story here eventually, but I don't know when, and then the timing of that, everybody's been trying to time, and it's been so difficult here. Valuations are dirt cheap. If Alibaba was a U.S. company, I'd be long it, all in, and double size and triple size. But it's not. It's a China company here, and obviously there's a lot of geopolitical risks that I just can't quantify.
I see some people in the chat saying it's irrelevant. Look, I don't care what the stock is. If I think there's an opportunity to squeeze, you know, 30, 40% out of it, it's relevant to me, and I think, you know, I think you have the potential here for Baba, not saying
there's been 30% rallies in Alibaba here, you know, like just looking, you know, at this big sell-off in the last couple of years, we've had some significant rallies in this stock. They just seem to always resolve lower though. Like back in, you know, we went from, well, let's just look, you know, at the long-term chart.
Hey, Dennis, we got Ivan Feinstein.
Oh, Ivan, bring him in. Yep. This is a good conversation.
Yeah, he's been on for a while.
Ivan Feinstein from Tigris Financial hanging out backstage. Let's go ahead and give Ivan our very special pre-market prep welcome.
Good morning, Ivan. Are you enjoying all this tech talk this morning?
Absolutely. Great to see you guys. You know, I love being on your show. I love your conversations, and I'm excited to get engaged with you guys.
Ivan, perfect guest to have on here for the conversation we just had here, too, because we're talking Chinese tech now here. I know you obviously cover a lot of different areas here, but what are your thoughts as China? I mean, Alibaba has been in the gutter, ABs, you know, talking, you know, we found some support down here.
No matter what, to me, it always comes back to the U.S. of A. I just think we are the world innovators.
Yeah.
And the cradle of innovation is Silicon Valley in California. And we lead the world in innovation. And until such time where I think we have a much better trade and business relationship with China, because the big risk is this forced technology transfer. And we go back and forth. Right now, the Biden administration wants to restrict processor sales to China. At the same time, China is stopping Chinese companies from buying our chips, so in our processors. So until this is ironed out, I think that I want to focus on U.S. stocks. But no matter what, the number one processor company is still NVIDIA, and I think that this weakness is a buying opportunity. As we have seen so far in the past, every weakness, you know, over some debate whether somebody is going to take market share, nobody is, or companies will make their own processors. NVIDIA will still be the lead processing power within the data center, with in edge connectivity, in every part of it. All of the big companies like Meta, Microsoft, Google, Amazon are going to make their own processors on for the secondary and tertiary routines, but NVIDIA is going to be the leader.
It's so hard to envision, like I just can't even fathom, you know, when Tesla on the call last night, I don't know if you were listening, you know, talk about buying 85,000, you know, H100 GPUs, and, you know, Zuckerberg and Meta is talking, like, it seems like they're getting billions of dollars in revenue from every single major company here. Like, it's hard to bet against that. I just, you know, people can say the valuation, but go ahead, Ivan.
These companies are focusing their competitive advantage on the NVIDIA-driven processing power that they can get. So they want to have, you know, and by the way, the H1's already the H2, and now we know about the Blackwell. I was lucky enough to be at the GTC this year, which was a great event. Over 18,000 people in attendance.
What is that, Ivan? What is that event?
The NVIDIA GTC event that they had for the first time live in 5 years. It was just incredible. The enthusiasm for the, I mean, just when everybody says, oh, we're going to leapfrog ahead of NVIDIA, NVIDIA is already way ahead of that. So when other companies are trying to catch up to the H100, they had the H200. They try to catch up to the H200. Now they have the Blackwell 200. And to see the processing power and what these processors can do. And I just, you know, it's all just incredible to see. And then they had the expo at the San Jose Convention Center. I mean, Jensen, I was saying leading up to the event that the only person who could pack more people into an event other than Jensen Huang at that time would have been Taylor Swift. And he was treated and went out on stage and in, you know, this huge arena like a rock star. And the presentation was just incredible. And then all of the other companies that are engaging with the NVIDIA ecosystem to build out everything from, you know, all the AI-driven ordering capabilities at fast food restaurants to, you know, all types of travel engagement, almost every point of customer engagement, every point of trying to, of large language learning models driven by their processors. NVIDIA is leading it, and it's actually blazing the path and leading the path and leading the crowd.
Ivan, I want to talk a little bit before we get more stock specific here. You made a very interesting observation here in your notes, and the market just gets so focused on different things. You mentioned geopolitical issues, what happened last week, right? That put in potential, you know, short-term low for sure. If it's long-term low, that remains to be seen. No talk about interest rates, no talk about monetary policy, no talk about no Powell.
Well,
no.
I do. Well, but here's the thing. We saw the obsession with inflation and monetary policy for the past 2-3 weeks when we didn't have earnings results. Now that the earnings results have started to come out, the market is going to shift its focus to corporate results and corporate commentary. And I think we're going to see, you know, we're looking for another up quarter and a big up year. Companies, especially in the tech sector, are reporting they're way exceeding pre-pandemic levels and they're reporting record levels. And by the way, the Q4 results we saw earlier this year included record levels and numbers of dividend increases and share repurchase announcements. And companies don't do that unless they're very confident in their cash flow. So I think that the catalyst, the focus of the next catalyst is shifting to corporate results. And now we see.
What about a hot PC number on Friday? What about a super hot? I mean, we've had people go from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rate cuts this year to 3.
Well,
to 2,
that was also to none.
And now they're talking about raising rates. What about a hot PC number? Will that overshadow all the earnings?
I mean, oil is an issue. Food is still sticky. It's shocking. I still say I would like to see the Fed go the other way, cut rates, because what's happening is that this is supply-driven inflation. Cut rates, increase investment, increase supply in food production, in all types of production that we are. And then we are seeing, you know, the talk of tariffs on steel and aluminum causing pricing. So there's a lot of artificial forces that are keeping inflation high that I think eventually will abate. But no matter what, the stock market is driven by earnings and revenue growth.
And, so, Ivan, you're basically saying that by cutting rates here, we'd be able to then encourage investments into the areas where our production
is lacking.
I mean, you look at housing, for example. A big issue with the housing is we don't have enough supply, but it becomes harder to build new houses with interest rates where they're at.
Yeah. I mean, well, interest rates and input prices. So, start manufacturing all these things, all the things that go into houses, appliances, plumbing, electrical.
But do you think even if Powell and the crew understand this, that they'd be hesitant to do that?
Yes.
From the optics perspective of saying, oh, inflation hasn't gone down enough, but we're still going to cut rates. And maybe most people who don't have an economic background maybe wouldn't understand what they're trying to do.
Well, I think that also the other side of the coin of two things, in my view, driving the economy, corporate results, jobs. And unemployment at 3 points, so anything below 4% is full employment. So we are at record levels of employment. And when people have jobs, they're earning money, they're investing money in the stock market, they're spending, they're buying cars, they're just go to a restaurant, especially on the weekends, go to the airport. The airports are packed.
They're both spending money still.
Ticket prices for airline ticket prices are crazy. Hotel prices, the demands are for the it's travel demand is at record levels. The cruise industry is on fire. Hotels, Vegas, airlines, just everywhere. Just listening to the Travel and Leisure, the timeshare company, Q1 results, incredible. Just travel is incredibly strong, and that's the ultimate discretionary spend.
It's the consumer mindset. I've talked about this before on the show too. It all changed with the pandemic. It all went from save for your money for a rainy day, like a lot of people conservative their spending, to YOLO. It's went to YOLO.
To a point, I think that that, you know, if people are planning on a trip, it became post-pandemic because everybody thinks the travel industry is just one sneeze away from a global shutdown, that if not now, when? You know, if I want to go on a cruise, you know, if not now, when? So I want to go to Italy to see, you know, where my ancestors were from. Not mine, personally, not, but people say that. You know, if not now, when? And I just want to shift gears before we run out of time, because everybody asks me one question all the time when the discussions come to NVIDIA and AI. What's the next NVIDIA? And I'm saying the next NVIDIA is Qualcomm. You're going to see Qualcomm is going to come from. And by the way, Qualcomm in the 90s was the NVIDIA of its day, where it was a very enthusiastic. It was a trailblazing, cutting-edge company when wireless communication was really ramping up. And now what NVIDIA is doing in the data center and Qualcomm, as far as AI capability, is enabling it on mobile devices and in connectivity.
What are you avoiding, Ivan? Is there anything that you're kind of hands-off on?
Yeah, my enthusiasm and focus is on tech and consumer, so I really don't focus on energy. And I believe that me and everybody likes lower gasoline prices, so we like lower oil prices. So I'm not enthusiastic about the energy sector, partially because I just think there's so much more opportunity in sustainable growth in other areas.
Ivan, I want to backtrack a little bit just to your earlier point about cutting rates to help with the supply issue when it comes to inflation. So a couple of years ago, when we were at, you know, when we were first hitting the 30-year, 40-year high inflation, a big part of that was a semiconductor shortage. And that was driving, you know, car prices higher, appliance prices higher. And I had people, you know, that I listened to that are a lot smarter than me talk about this, saying, hey, by raising rates right now, we're actually going to slow down production of these chips, which could help drive inflation further. Then when the Fed raised rates, we did see inflation fall. Do you think that was, it was kind
of... What was happening is, remember, coming out of the pandemic, factories were shut down. So there was a shortage of everything.
Right.
Remember that GM was idling production of cars. They had half-finished cars on their, you know, at their factory lots waiting for processors. And even to give credit to Tesla at the time, that driven by their software-defined capabilities, they were able to do more with less processors. But yes, I remember very clearly it was good to bring it. Glad that you brought it up. We've got to increase. So when you increase the supply, you know, prices go down. Increase investment drives increased production, drives increased innovation. So, but even here at 5.5%, yes, it's higher than it was for a long time at zero interest rates or 0.25% Fed funds rate. But still, it's, you know, that for, it's pretty close to around, you know, the 100 plus year historical average of interest rates. So it's not a major impediment to economic growth, which we continue to see. And stock market positive performance.
Yeah, I just remember at the time when the Fed was raising rates, a lot of the economists I listened to saying, hey, this isn't going to do anything for the supply shortages we're seeing. It's not going to help.
Well, he tried to break the back of demand.
Right.
Which we saw even going back to Paul Volcker when he raised rates. Now the interest rates went to 20%. He wanted to break the back of inflation by destroying demand, and sadly, he destroyed the economy.
Yeah, again, I think even if the Fed, you know, and the people that comprise the Fed make up or understand what you're saying, basically, that we can help the supply by lowering rates, they might be worried about the optics of it, that the average American might say, "What? We're cutting rates. Well, we're cutting rates right now with inflation sticky. That makes no sense," even though it really does, to your point, Ivan, make sense to do that.
Well, yes. I mean, also, what's been a helping force in the economy is the interest that people have been earning on their savings from zero to, you know, 4 to as much as 5%. And people, it's helped people's income. It's helped people, you know, an extra few hundred to a few thousand dollars a month for a lot of people. It also helps their ability to spend. In fact, the biggest complaint that accountants are getting is that how much now people owe on taxes because of the interest that they received that for years they didn't receive anything. Or, you know, just a pittance. I mean, it's funny when banks were paying like, 0.1%. I mean, zero.
Ivan, one more before we let you go here up against the clock. You talk about tech stocks here, and there's one that's certainly out of favor here, Apple. What's your take on Apple here at 166 and change, 166.60, well off its all-time high, perilously close to me losing a steak dinner to Dennis?
We got a Mac event on May 7th that just was announced. We got the Worldwide Developers Conference on June 10th, where I think we're going to see some, you know, people say, where's Apple's AI initiative? I think we're going to see that. And people are really waking up to the fact that the Vision Pro is not a VR AR headset, but a spatial computer. And I think we're going to see expansion there. But I'm not counting Apple out at all. And it's about the growth of services and further penetration into their ecosystem. And the next generation of the iPhone 16 is going to be a very powerful AI-driven phone. And that could create, if you will, a 5G type of upgrade cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So I think Apple is just on the back burner for now. I never counted out. Look what happened when we tried to count out Meta when the stock was $80. And they said everybody was negative on the stock and said, it's over. Advertising growth is slowing. Membership growth is slowing. And boom. And by the way, one CEO that just does what he says and says what he does and does what he says is Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, Ivan Feinseth, we got to wrap things up here. He's the chief strategist at Tigris Financial Artificial Intelligence. See if you caught that, Ivan. And the CIO of Tigris Financial Partners joining us here on Pre-Market Prep. Always a pleasure, Ivan. We'll be dialing you up again real soon. Thanks for taking your time out this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ivan.
All right. Shout out to Ivan Feinseth again from Tigris Financial.
Yeah, for sure.
Some great calls there. But yeah, I mean, Joel, to your point here, Apple still lagging the other Magnificent Seven stocks. Eventually, you know, we did get that pop a couple weeks ago when I was, maybe that's what I needed to do. Maybe.
Yeah, I know. Boy,
did
you ever catch that lightning in a bottle? Well,
his timing impeccable, that AB guy.
Oh, my
guy.
Lord.
Impeccable timing.
Yeah.
That was the biggest move it's had up all year, pretty much, right there. And
I can't even believe that was. Were those 185s that you had, or were they 175s? Yeah,
yeah. I had a few different price points. I think 175s and 177.5s. But I've been trying to chase that. Haven't gotten a good one. Although I did have some good SPY calls yesterday that I bought on Monday that expired yesterday, and so when SPY rallied again yesterday, made a few bucks on those, but. Let's see. Let's go to some headlines.
I kind of just want to talk overall market here before headlines here, because we are leaking significantly here. The S&Ps are almost red. your catalyst here, and I'm not sure if it was the 830 number, but TLT is getting hit here once again. The bond market does not believe the stock market, and we know the bond market eventually often is right. So IWM, NVIDIA doesn't care about bonds. You know, a lot of your tech stocks don't care about bonds. IWM, a lot of, you know, consumer staples, all that stuff, care very much about bonds because they're competing with bond yields. And as bond yields go higher, those stocks are less attractive. So TLT trading down means longer-term yields obviously going higher here. TLT not far from the 52-week, or at least the 2024 lows here. So breaking down here once again, that is dragging down the IWM. IWM down significantly. And then you've got, obviously, the S&P is almost flat. You have every tech stock rip-roaring and killing it here. Qs are up, you know, still significantly here, up $2.30, and S&P is trying to go flat. What does that tell you for the day?
You missed the high of the day here.
But it also tells you we're going to be in rotation station. It tells you that if you're coming here at the open and buying non-tech, you're probably going to get hit. So what is getting hit here this morning? Banks significantly lower. Again, staples significantly lower. Oil significantly lower. Everything that is pretty much non-tech, unless it reported, is trading down here today. I make money not because, you know, I'm directionally betting and making good calls on stocks like NVIDIA. I make money from identifying these little relationships and taking advantage of them. And, you know, I try to identify them before the day trading herd. You know, right now they're coming into their desk. They're like, oh, it's a pretty good day. Tesla stocks are going to be up. No, stocks are not going to be up. Some tech stocks are going to be up, and a lot of things are going to be significantly down. So just, you know, be careful with just buying anything, because I think there's going to be a lot of stocks that get absolutely hit hard here today. And it's all the non-tech stuff, because if they're buying the tech and the S&P is flat, it's just math, folks. They've got to be selling something else. And they're, what they're going to pick on is the non-tech.
Great point. Great point. Do we have some Biogen news here? I just want to shift gears here.
We do. Yeah. Biogen reported earnings. Let me go ahead and pull earnings up. The Alzheimer. I think some good numbers with the Alzheimer stuff. But Biogen, EPS of $3.67, beat by 21 cents. Revenue of $2.29 billion, misses by $30 million. Let's see. So the EPS beat. You have some analysts coming in maintaining their Needham reiterated buy on Biogen, maintains $294 price target. So currently trading at 205 with a 294 price target. That's significant. I'm just trying to see if reaffirms EPS guidance of $15 to $16, representing EPS growth of approximately 5% versus 2023. The midpoint consensus was $15.48. So guidance in line to slightly higher. You had the EPS beat, stock trading higher by about 6% this morning.
Pair highs at 205, going back to last week. So if you want 210, you got to sustain. You got to hold this bid here at 205 and catch it up to 210 here. But as we speak, opening at resistance here, a former double top in Biogen.
Another company we did not hit on. I don't know how much we really talk about this one, but everything's bigger in Texas, right? Texas Instruments, that includes earnings. TXN reported earnings after the close yesterday. Stock trading up $11 on those numbers. Let me go ahead and pull those up. Let me get out my handy calculator to break down these numbers. My TI-89, I still got that.
Oh, I remember those. I had that. I did all my CFA courses. I had my Texas Instruments right there.
Yeah, my TI-89. I still got that laying around somewhere. EPS came in at $1.10, beat by 2 cents. Revenue of $3.6 billion, beat by $50 million. So a good day here for Texas Instruments. I heard Texas Instruments is like a defense play now, too. I don't know. The chat might be able to correct me on that.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, this is why, you know, your chips are having a fantastic day here today, too. I mean, Texas Instruments reported right after the bell, and they started buying chips all over the place. And, you know, this, you know, is quietly a market mover for today as well. Tesla obviously helping tech overall, but specifically chips are trading very strong off of Texas Instruments, Applied Materials, you know, obviously NVIDIA, AMD, we've already talked about here, but all your chip stocks are trading significantly higher here. Concerning that the market has leaked back, though. So I'm not chasing anything here today. I'm not chasing Texas Instruments. I'd be more inclined. What have I been saying? I think we're in the fade trade market still. So I'm actually more inclined to be selling into strength than opposed to like buying strength, which I never do. SPY's trying to go red. This is very bad news for stocks. So overall, right, here, they're going to come in.
Yep, coming in.
I know you don't want the running sentence, but I'm trying to like to give some guys some, you know, good points here for today. This is an easy setup here today. You know, you're going to come in, money managers coming in. Good day for stocks. Tesla, I'm buying things. They're going to get faded hard. I think this is a day we could actually end up big red.
Okay. If you wanted to sell Texas Instrument at its March high of 178.20, well, you might have missed it because that's exactly what it hit in after hours trading. We've leaked a buck and a half here. So with the market leaking too, I think you might have to sell this and pick a number ahead of that big old gap to fill. But 166.90, that's a ways away. That's the top of yesterday's range. I just want to mention too for the S&Ps and how it correlates with your stocks. The exact low of the day right now is the close, Dennis. So, you know, we always talk about going from green to red or red to green. Keep an eye. That pre-market low happens to be your exact closing price from yesterday. So right now at 9:01, as we wrap up the show, the bulls, they're hanging. They're keeping this market into green. But you slip below that pre-market low, which is the close. Going to be hard to find support in here just the way we ripped up yesterday.
People asking me what I have on watch today. I'm shorting non-tech stocks here at the open. That's what I'm trying to do is shorting non-tech because I think IDEMIUM is going to win. I think TLT is going to win. Not saying I'm shorting NVIDIA. I'm saying I'm shorting non-tech. So my focus today is not on tech. It's on non-tech at the open. I'm trying to short those names at the open. Non-tech.
And I think you missed the high of the day in Tesla too. Starting to leak as well. It needs to get back up to one.
It's going to end up being a very bad day for the markets if we close red because we were just, they were buying them so hard last night. You had a lot of people chasing. That's yep. What this market does. It suckers catches them in, people. Catches people. And then they're like, what happened? Tesla reported good. Texas Instruments chips roll up. What? Why am I down money? Because you're chasing, buddy. Because you're chasing. Don't chase.
All right. I threw that link in. If you want to sign up to be the GM, the virtual GM of your favorite NFL team ahead of our stream tomorrow night in honor of the draft being right next door to our Benzinga headquarters, we do have most of the teams already filled. So make sure to fill out this form this morning if it's something you want to participate in. Joel and I will be there. Maybe even Dennis will hop on for a sec to talk some Canadian football, which, by the way, Dennis, you watch hockey? Do you watch hockey last night?
Yeah, I watch them all. I can't help myself. I'm up there. That and you guy, know what? It was we knew the Canucks were going to lose because with obviously the goalie hurt, it was going to be an easier series. I think Nashville's going to beat the Canucks, period. So that's that was the late game just to catch you guys up on. Everybody obviously watched the Rangers victory here. Rangers going to sweep. This is my prediction. Rangers are sweeping the Caps. Caps had no business even being in the playoffs. They got lucky to be there.
They were winning for a second. They scored the
minus 39 goal differential. They have no chance against the Rangers. Rangers going to smoke.
I don't know, Dennis. I don't know if you saw the saves that Panthers goalie was making.
Unbelievable. Bobrovsky is in the zone.
Cost me $1,000.
He's back to the play and he's turning around and saving stuff.
Cost me $1,000. If you guys didn't see it, this goalie was like outside the net looking this way. The dude had a wide open shot, thought all he has to do is just put it in the net. The goalie turns around and somehow makes this like incredible save. I would have won $1,000 had the Lightning won that game. So I was a little pissed off at that. But at the end of the day, I was like, I can't get that mad. It was just a great play overall. But all right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show today. Make sure to come back 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. This market, you know, whether we see a big sell-off today, you know, we got more earnings coming after the close. So we're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Make sure to be there. Smash the like if you haven't already. Try to stay green today.